With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Instant Reaction Podcast, HawkeyeNation.com. Andrew Downs here with you on another beautiful Black Friday. A familiar feeling on a Black Friday as Iowa gets a 28-21 win in Lincoln, Nebraska over the Cornhuskers. The Hawkeyes seventh in a row over Nebraska, the fourth in a row this season, 10-2 on the season. And now we wait for tomorrow to find out who plays in the Big Ten championship game on both sides of the conference. But right now, Iowa, man, what a win. What a game. What a comeback. You know, if you never lost faith in this game, you are better than I. Because even though at halftime I felt like Iowa should win when Tyler Goodson fumbled at the 10-yard line and Nebraska took that and turned it into a, I guess it was what, the 6-yard line. Nebraska, I think, had a 94-yard drive to go up 21-6 at that point in the third quarter. I thought this was over. I was ready to turn the TV off. I was ready to kind of move on with my day and my weekend and try to stay off social media and avoid all Husker fans possible, but played out. Once again, a team finds a way to win. That's Iowa, and a team finds a way to lose. That's Nebraska. That's been the tale of these seasons, and that's why Iowa is 10-2, and maybe the you know, most surprising 10-2 team in a long time. And Nebraska's 3-9, and maybe one of the more talented 3-9 teams in a long time. Nebraska, I think, had 8-1 possession losses. The only 2-possession loss was 9 points to Ohio State. But what you saw in the second half was, again, a team that emphasizes special teams and not making mistakes and discipline and staying in games and resiliency and all of those things. And a team that just hasn't made that a part of their culture in the 4 or 5 years that Scott Frost has been there. Obviously, the special teams has been a big issue for them all season long and bit them a couple of times here tonight in what ultimately cost them, not a season-defining win, not a Frost legacy-defining win, but certainly some momentum and some good feelings going into another tough offseason for the Huskers. As we stand, though, just another loss, another what if. I haven't seen much of what Scott Frost said after the game. I was hoping to see some of that before recording this. I will be watching his post-game press conference because I like beating Nebraska. And now that Iowa has done that 7 times in a row, and another season where Iowa just extends these streaks. Now 7 in a row against Nebraska, 7 in a row against Minnesota, 6 in a row against Iowa State. Let's not talk about the bad streaks. Maybe 6 years in a row now without winning the Big Ten West. That's still on the table, though, as if Minnesota beats Wisconsin tomorrow, Iowa will go to Indianapolis next weekend, and they'll play the winner of the Ohio State-Michigan game. I think most people expect that to be Ohio State, and I think most people expect it to be Wisconsin, but crazier things have happened. Let's take a look at some of the stats here as Iowa had 2 quarterbacks play in this game. Alex Padilla started and played in the first half, didn't play great, but played okay. And then Spencer Petras came out in the second half and played a little bit better. Didn't play great, played okay. I think what we've learned over the last season, but certainly over the last 4 weeks, is that Alex has some things that Spencer Petras can't do, but he is not a head and shoulders better quarterback than Spencer Petras. He's not a game changer. He doesn't change this offense. And Spencer Petras has some limitations on what he can do, especially with his legs and other places. He can't keep plays alive. Maybe he's a little more rigid, but he does have a little bit better of an arm and does seem to have a better grasp of the offense. So who will start, who should start in a Big Ten championship or bowl game? I have no idea, man. Flip a coin. I'm not going to be upset if either of these guys comes out. I think they've, again, they both have their strengths. They both have their weaknesses. I don't think either of them is head and shoulders better than the other one. Logan Smothers had a good game for Nebraska, especially running the ball. He had 24 carries, 64 yards, and a couple of touchdowns, 198 yards through the air. I mean, he threw for more yards than Iowa's two quarterbacks combined, but he did have the late interception and took a couple of bad sacks. Certainly the one, I guess it was technically grounding in the end zone that gave Iowa the safety, but you know, he looked more like a first game starter in the second half. Iowa was able to pressure him a little bit and get into his head a little bit, because on three of those three scoring drives that Nebraska put together, they looked great, and he looked great, and it looked like Iowa didn't have an answer. But then, I mean, it really felt like it was either three and out or a long scoring drive for Nebraska. It felt like it was all or nothing for them. Tyler Goodson had a good day. 23 carries, 156 yards. Had that long 55-yard run to set up the go-ahead touchdown. That was a fantastic play. Monty Potibom had 29 yards, 26 on that one third and, I think, one play in the first half. That was fun to watch. But Iowa ran the ball pretty well for the most part. The offensive line was, again, good, not great. Had a few sacks, but ultimately allowed Goodson to, you know, get his and have a nice day. And Tyler Goodson, shout out to him, now over 1,000 yards on the season. That's a cool milestone and cool for him. And what's, you know, probably ultimately a slightly disappointing season for Tyler Goodson after, you know, being first team All Big Ten a year ago, but has a chance to come back and, you know, really start climbing up the record books here as an Iowa running back. Sam Laporta, 3 catches, 61 yards. Charlie Jones, 3 catches, 31 yards. The only other guy with more than one catch, who had 2 for 16 yards. Now, Laporta should have had 4 catches for about 71 yards and a touchdown, but that got taken off the board. And, man, the first half for these officials against Iowa was brutal. That touchdown, I don't know how you don't call that a touchdown. He has the ball, he's on his back in the end zone. You don't have to complete the catch. That's the catch. He completed the catch. That's a touchdown. The targeting call, that was clear on Arlen Bruce. That's an ejection, right? making contact with the referee, that's an ejection. The Iowa had converted a third and whatever, and like a full minute after the play ended, they called it illegal procedure on Iowa. There were a couple others as well. It really felt like, and I guess that's why I was able to kind of think that Iowa still had a chance at halftime, even though they were down 14-6, even though they had driven into the red zone at least once and close a couple of times and come away with just field goals. And typically that's a bad move, right? And we've been on the other side of this a lot of times. We have been the last couple of weeks, even in Minnesota and against Minnesota and Illinois, where they were settling for field goals instead of punching in touchdowns, and that ultimately was the reason, you know, they weren't able to come up enough on the scoreboard. Iowa kind of felt like that way until the fourth quarter, when the special teams and defense really got into the game a little bit. Tyler Goodson had that one fumble, a couple other fumbles, but Iowa got those back. Jack Campbell had 16 tackles. Seth Benson, 10 tackles. Those are your linebackers just dominating the game. Jack Kerner, who we weren't sure if he was going to play, he comes up with 7 tackles. Lucas Van Ness had a big game, 6 tackles, a sack, a tackle for loss. Van Valkenburg, a sack, 5 tackles. And then it was very cool to see the young man Jamari Harris get that interception late in the game. Good for him. Iowa's defense bowed up in the second half and certainly in the fourth quarter. They gave up that long drive in the third quarter after the Goodson touchdown. Let's just go through this quickly, the play-by-play. So Nebraska opens with that 75-yard touchdown drive that looked way too easy, was you know, very simple. Iowa return serve, right, and comes right down and drives. And on fourth down, you get that touchdown, which is then reversed and called back. If Padilla makes a little better of a throw, that's easily a touchdown, but it is what it is. It didn't happen, and ultimately, thankfully, it didn't bite the Hawkeyes. Then you get 3 punts in a row before Iowa drives down for a field goal. But again, Iowa starts at the 40-yard line, their own 40 for that drive and only gets to the 33 of Nebraska for Shudak to hit the 31-yard field goal. That puts Iowa on the board. And then Nebraska has another just long, methodical 75-yard, 13-play, 6-minute drive for a touchdown that, again, you started to think, man, if they're able to do this, and that was the second time they were, Iowa is not going to have an answer for this. And Iowa doesn't play well from behind. You heard them say that on the broadcast. It ultimately turned out to not be true in this game as Iowa scored 19 points to zero of Nebraska's in the fourth quarter to get the win, but typically Iowa does not want to be behind as much as they were. Thankfully, we're able to drive down and get that field goal before halftime to cut the lead to 8 points for Nebraska. It was 14-6 at half. And then it was that opening drive where Iowa came out. And again, I still felt pretty good at half. It felt like, you know, if the refereeing gets a little more even, if Iowa kind of cleans up a couple of the mistakes, you feel like this quarterback smothers, this Nebraska team is going to start making some mistakes. It felt like they had kind of played, not perfectly, but very well up to that point. So you felt like if Iowa can just clean up some of its mistakes, get some help from the refs, and get a little help from Nebraska's, you know, inexperience and, you know, willingness to lose games, it felt like Iowa could win. But you drive down, Tyler Goodson fumbles at the 6. That was brutal. That was a tough run for him. And then for Nebraska to turn that around and a 9-play, 94-yard scoring drive to make the score 21-6, and that was the time where it really felt like it was game. Iowa did drive back down, but gets into the red zone and again has to settle for a Caleb Shudak field goal, which, you know, now that the game is over, every point mattered. And Caleb Shudak, the automaticness, the automaticity, that's not a word, how automatic he has been has just been huge for this team. And of course it is, you know, a team with this kind of offense needs a kicker, needs a stud punter, and thankfully Iowa has both of those things. And then that was then when Nebraska, 4th and 8 from their own 27, they tried to punt the ball. Joe Evans gets the block, although it wasn't Joe Evans. That's what it says on the ESPN thing, but it was not Joe Evans. Kyler Fisher does catch that and return it for a touchdown. And all of a sudden it felt like, okay, here we go, 21-16. Then Nebraska fumbles the ball, smothers, fumbles it. Iowa can't do anything with that, unfortunately. You get the ball at midfield, essentially lose yards and have to punt it back. But the way that Torrey Taylor punted that ball, Oliver Martin fair catches it at the 7, and that leads to the safety. That was a huge play. Obviously got Iowa within 3 points, and then the Hawkeyes are tie the game right there. And it had to feel like for Nebraska, like you had really kind of given this game away at that point. Just the tie even felt like you had lost. And then Nebraska punts, 3 and out. Iowa drives right down. That big Tyler Goodson run was huge, clearly. And Spencer Petras gets in with the quarterback sneak. Nebraska got close there at the end. They were on the 28 when that interception was had by Jamari Harris. And that ended the game. And what a win for the Hawkeyes. Just very cool. Quickly look at the team stats. Pretty even here. Iowa outgained Nebraska by about 40 yards, 364 to 327. Iowa had one more first down, 20 fewer yards passing, 40 more yards rushing. Iowa had 4 penalties for 25 yards for the Hawkeyes, 6 for 50 for Nebraska, the 2 turnovers for Nebraska to the 1 for Iowa. And time of possession, again, pretty even, 32 minutes for Iowa, 28 for Nebraska. So a very evenly played game. You know, I think probably both fan bases felt at times like they were certainly going to win, or certainly could win, maybe had the better team. But Iowa ultimately, again, found a way to win where Nebraska found a way to lose. So now we look ahead, and really there's nothing to do but wait. I'm not even going to try to predict bowl game scenarios. I've seen a lot of, you know, Outback and Citrus level bowls. Obviously that depends on what happens tomorrow with Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. If Minnesota beats Wisconsin and Iowa goes to a Big Ten championship game, that's going to raise their profile, even if they get, you know, housed by Ohio State or Michigan in Indianapolis. Even if it means going to Indianapolis and getting embarrassed, we want Iowa to win the Big Ten West, obviously, right? I hope that's obvious. I hope everybody understands that. It's kind of a fun little talking point, jokey thing to say, well, you know, let's let Wisconsin go get beat by 50 by Ohio State. But no, you want to win the West. That's the whole goal. A 10-2 season is fantastic. It really is. This season has been a success, but there's that tinge of disappointment because at 6-0 and ranked number 2 in the country, you felt like it was a sure thing that Iowa was going to Indianapolis, and that's not the case anymore. But Iowa did everything it could in these last four games by winning these four games, going on a four-game winning streak, and putting pressure on Wisconsin now, who knows they have to beat Minnesota, a good Minnesota team that we just saw that is certainly capable of jumping up and knocking off Wisconsin. So we'll all be watching that game tomorrow. I'll be rooting hard. And then, you know, if who knows from there what happens if Iowa goes and, you know, somehow upsets the East team and, you know, all of a sudden we're talking about a Rose Bowl, you know, maybe a very outside shot at a college football playoff. I think that's probably off the table, but a Rose Bowl would be fun. Anything, really anything's going to be fun at this point. It's a 10-2 season, man, and especially with how inept we looked at times this season, how close some of these final games were, to have it now play out where Iowa won those games. Really, every game Iowa was a contender in, Iowa won. Iowa didn't feel like it contended in the second half against Purdue, and it didn't feel like it contended almost at all against Wisconsin. It felt like it was slipping away a little bit here today, and it felt like it was slipping away a little bit against Penn State back in Week 6. But in the games where Iowa had a legitimate chance to win, they won. Do you wish they would have won more? Absolutely, of course, certainly. But a 10-win regular season, not a 10-win season, a 10-win regular season. These are pretty rare. These are few and far between. A team that's going to stay ranked the entire season, a team that's going to jump up a couple of spots in the college football playoff rankings that'll come out after this week, and a team that, as we sit here tonight on Black Friday, still has a chance to win the Big Ten West and go to Indianapolis. These are all very, very good things. You should be happy about this. You should celebrate this. A win over Nebraska is a good win, no matter how bad this Nebraska team is. To kind of keep your foot on the neck of this program is a fantastic thing. I hope you enjoy it. I've enjoyed it. We'll talk a lot more about it. We got an Iowa basketball game coming up tonight. There's a lot going on. The wrestling on Sunday. The women's basketball will be back in action next week. And Monday night, the things really kind of step up for the Iowa basketball program as they travel to Virginia before a couple of Big Ten games against Purdue and Illinois and the Cy-Hawk game against Iowa State, and Iowa State team that just beat a ranked Xavier team, which includes Jack Nungy, on Wednesday night in New York City. So that Cy-Hawk game looks a little more challenging than maybe it has the last couple of seasons. Either way, it's a great time to be a Hawkeye as always. Thank you for listening. Go Hawks!